Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Good morning to those here at the Vine and those online. Good morning. The most excellent way love is honoring. And can you think of a time that you felt honored by someone? How did it make you feel and how did it impact you? When we think of honoring someone, sometimes we think of an award or recognition, pulling someone up onto a stage and making a speech about them. And certainly this is included in honoring people publicly, but honoring someone can be a small, personal, daily encounter. It can be an ordinary experience, but it is also a powerful experience. And now when someone notices you, pays attention to you, writes you a card, shows interest in you, values you, asks you for advice or for your opinion, appreciates you, expresses gratitude towards you, compliments you, assists you, is kind to you, wants to spend time with you, wants to help and encourage you, you feel valued. You feel important. You feel honored. You feel strengthened. And being honored encourages you. It gives you confidence. It brings you strength and cheer. It motivates you and brings you joy. It makes you feel loved. It makes you feel significant. It makes you feel remembered. I was thinking recently of recent examples when I felt honored by people in an ordinary way, and two sprang to mind. One was I asked a friend called Adrian Turk for some advice. I just sent him a little message saying, I've got some mold in four rooms of the house. Could you advise me, please? And he says, for 20 years I've fought mold. Let me come to your house. He took his own time, a busy man whose wife doesn't, not in great health, Muriel, poor soul, doesn't keep in great health. But he came 7 miles to my house. He spent time, he went up a rotten attic, and he gave me over 20 years worth of experience and wisdom. He told me exactly what products to use. He told me where I needed to put insulation in. He said, I'll leave my garage open, and inside my garage, I'll have a dehumidifier. I'll have some anti-mold paint. Please help yourself. I was really grateful. I felt really valued. He was willing. He came in, he said hello to the family, he sat down. I felt honored, I felt loved, I felt appreciated, and I was very, very grateful. Another was from a non-Christian young man. I organized a group hike, and off his own back, he sent me a message which said, hi, Aaron, how are you? I just wanted to drop you a message to say thanks again for organizing the hike at the weekend. It was a great day despite the weather. Great chats as always and good opportunity to meet fellow Monroe enthusiasts. It's clear you put a lot of effort into organizing the hikes and it's much appreciated. Cheers, bro. That simple message of gratitude made me feel appreciated. It made me feel valued. It made me feel honored. I did go up the attic. And if there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Mold busters. If there's something black, just put that video on your walls and roof, who are you going to call? Mold busters. Mold busters. Yeah, just play that video again. There we go. So there's Adrian's advice in there. That was me getting up the attic to lay all the insulation. Thank you, Lindsay, for putting that together. Now, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love does not dishonor others. It does not dishonor others. Can you think of a time that you felt dishonored? And how did it make you feel? And how did it impact you? Yes, dishonor can be a public thing where you feel humiliated publicly or online, but it also can be very personal. It's a powerful experience to feel dishonored. When someone ignores you, pays you no attention, shows no interest in you, undervalues you, asks you no questions about yourself, takes you for granted, never thanks you, never compliments you or assists you, is unkind to you, stays away from you, discourages you, you feel used, you feel worthless, you feel unimportant, you feel depleted, you feel dishonored. And being dishonored discourages you. It steals your confidence, it depletes your strength and joy, and it robs you of motivation. It makes you feel unloved. It makes you feel insignificant. It makes you feel forgotten. But love does not dishonor others. And honoring one another is no small thing, especially in a family. It's bigger and more powerful than we can imagine and can be used to bring about amazing transformation. And this is why God tells us to honor one another. Imagine a culture of honor where everyone is trying to outdo one another in honoring one another. Imagine the health and the strength and joy of that community. It's a tiny glimpse into the kingdom culture that Jesus initiated and called his disciples to follow in order to bring salt and light into a dark and rotten culture. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says that love, it does not dishonor others. Love does not dishonor others. Why not? Because love is honoring. It does not dishonor others because to dishonor another person is to dishonor God. Wow. Think about that. Each time you dishonor a person made in the image of God, you are dishonoring their Father and Creator. Jesus said, whatever you did or did not do for one of these, the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did or did not do for me. Whatever dishonor you gave to one of my children, you gave to me. Wow. That is powerful. Now, Jesus honored others. Jesus came from heaven to earth and revealed to us in visible form the invisible God. And he showed us what God is like. We know that God is love, and Jesus came and revealed this love. And what we notice about Jesus is how he honored his heavenly Father and honored the people that he came into contact with. Jesus gave an example to his disciples one day by washing their feet, the task that is normally done by a lowly servant. And he honored his disciples in that moment. And honor required humility and willingness to serve. Honor is humble and serves others. One day, Jesus was teaching, and a rich tax collector called Zacchaeus was up a tree trying to listen. And Jesus showed honor to a despised tax collector. Honor first noticed and gave attention to the person. Honor was willing to lay aside its agenda and give its time and attention to Zacchaeus. He did not merely exchange pleasantries with Zacchaeus, but he spent time in his house eating with him. This is honor. Honor notices people. It has eyes to see. It pays attention to people, and it gives people quality time. One day, a woman caught in adultery was brought before Jesus by an angry crowd. And according to the Jewish law of the day, women deserved to be stoned if caught in adultery. What would Jesus do? He honored the woman. A sinner caught in the act deserved to be stoned. He honored this woman by pointing out the hypocrisy of the crowd. They left by one, starting with the oldest. Jesus did not condemn the woman. He saved her from injustice. He protected her from anger and hypocrisy. This is honor. Honor loves people at their worst and continues to see the gold inside of them. You think you're only called to honor people when they're at their best. Jesus honored people at their worst. You think you've only to honor people when they're behaving and doing what you want them to do. Jesus honored people at their worst. You think you've only to honor people when their behavior is pleasing to you and they're stroking your ego. Jesus honored people at their worst. Honor does not condemn the person, but it sees their gold and inspires them through love and compassion to change and to return to her true identity. Honor protects a guilty person. Honor protects a guilty person, a struggling person, a weak person, a sinning person, a person who's not coping. Honor protects in their worst moments from accusers, from judges, from hypocrites, from backstabbers, from people pointing the finger. Honor protects from the violent physically, the violent verbally. Honor protects, for love protects. Honor stands up for true justice and mercy. And one day Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at a well. I want you to look in this clip now for the honor he showed to this woman. Sit back, relax, enjoy. It's a bit of a longer clip. It might put me over my time, but I ask you to honor that. Thank you.
Would you give me a drink? Did you hear me?
That bad, huh?
What?
You, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan, and a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
You know, it's not safe for you to be alone out here.
Nor you. Why haven't you come with others? Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah, well, none of them will be seen with me, so I have to come at noon, in the heat, as you have so kindly reminded me.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water, if you can spare it.
Amazing what a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah? And what do you say?
I say if you knew who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would? Except that you have nothing to draw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what do you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Long story.
But Jewish water is better than Samaritan water, hmm?
That's not what I said.
Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband and come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with now is not your husband.
If anyone has got any questions about the Chosen, Marco, put your hand up. He is your man on the Chosen. But this is honor, and honor goes out of its way to meet people. Honor does not judge people from their past or if they are of a different race or religion. Honor brings hope and love to those who are rejected and despised. One day, Jesus tells his listeners a story about a man with two sons, and the youngest dishonors his father by blowing his inheritance on wild living and prostitutes. He crawls back to the father to ask to be made a servant. And what does the father do? He honors the one who has dishonored him. He honors him by running, by embracing, by kissing, by not withholding affection, by giving him a robe, by placing a ring on his finger, by placing shoes on his feet, and by throwing a party and killing the fattened calf. Jesus taught how the Father honors those who have dishonored him but return to him. Our culture will teach us to honor only those who honor you. But what does honor mean? What do we mean by honor, that Jesus honored his Father and people? Love does not dishonor others, and Jesus did not dishonor others. Dishonor means to act ill-mannered, to display improper or rude conduct. Sure, Jesus was harsh with the religious that he confronted at times, but remember, he was God and perfect, and so his anger was righteous and ours is usually not. But he was not ill-mannered, and he did not display improper or rude conduct. In fact, Jesus was very courteous with people. An unusual response to Jesus would be rude. Kids get that. To be courteous is one aspect of honoring others. To dishonor others is to lack good old-fashioned courtesy and to show improper or rude conduct. This includes not only in person, but also electronically, in emails, text messages, WhatsApp messages, you name it. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, New King James Version says, "Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, tender-hearted, and courteous." Titus 3, verse 2, show perfect, what does it say? Show perfect courtesy to some people, to people who are kind to you, to people who honor you. It says to all. Does that mean all? Like people I don't like, people I disagree with, people of a different culture, people of a different religion. It says to all people. What about someone who makes a rude comment on one of my posts on Instagram? They're exempt from showing courtesy. I can be belligerent. I can be angry. I can be rude, surely. I'm not going to be walked all over, though I'm a Christian. But you're required to show courtesy to all. To those who offend, to mock, to those who put you down, to those who slap you on one cheek, who ridicule you, who mock you, as Jesus showed by example. James 3:17 Amplified, then peace-loving, in brackets, courteous and considerate. Because honor does not behave rudely, and that includes online, in emails, and WhatsApp messages, and group WhatsApp messages, but is courteous and considerate. And courtesy includes friendliness, kindness, politeness, things that we think are old-fashioned and maybe not needed. We tend to forget these things in electronic communication. Like someone's not spoken to you for 6 months and they get in touch and they just say, "Have you got a spare such and such?" Like, "Oh, hello, I'm fine, thank you. And how are you? Courtesy, manners, politeness seem to go out the window. You would never meet a person in the street you've not seen for 6 months and go, you got a spade I could borrow? You go, hiya. You would hopefully smile. You'd hopefully show them face contact. Is everything all right? No, actually, I've just been diagnosed with bowel cancer, but you got a fair, you need a spade, pa. Courtesy should not only be evident in person, but all forms of communication. Teddy Roosevelt said, courtesy is as much a mark of a gentleman as courage. Men were called to be gentlemen. Courteous, kind, polite, courageous, bold, strong, resilient, tenacious, yes, but gentle, yes, strong, yes. Courtesy involves civility, good manners, kindness, deference, decency, respect, and basically being polite in our interactions with others. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love does not behave rudely. And J.P. Phillips' translation says that love has good manners. Love has good manners. I love that. Love has good manners. There's not room for bad manners in love. And we can be courteous to people in various ways. I don't have time to go into these. But we can be courteous to people by listening actively to what they have to say. That's honor. By using kind and polite language and words as courteous. By offering assistance when it's needed. Adrian was very courteous to me and honored me by offering assistance with my mold busting. I've got 4 rooms that are mold busted. Dehumidifiers everywhere. Painted freshly, newly insulated, and hopefully no more mold. We can be courteous by being punctual, by apologizing when necessary, by giving compliments, not flattery, but compliments, by respecting cultural customs. We can be courteous by showing gratitude, like that message I got to thank me. Not that we do it for thanks, but it's courteous. Remember when Jesus healed the lepers, 2 returned to give thanks. And being right does not give us the right to be impolite or rude or crude or inconsiderate of another's feelings. People stand on, well, you know, Jesus was all about truth and grace. I am right, and I've got to stand on truth, and therefore that gives me the right to be impolite, rude, crude, and inconsiderate of others' feelings, because I am right. But 1 Corinthians 8:1 says that knowledge puffs up, and love builds up. Thomas Watson says, really big people are, above everything else, courteous, considerate, and generous. Not just to some people in some circumstances, but to everyone all the time. Some thought Jesus was lowering the bar when he said the whole law is summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself. Thought he was lowering the bar. I think you'll see to love people, honor people, considerate, generous, courteous to all people all the time is raising the bar. And it is possible, for in Christ I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No, you can't do all things. You know, the world teaches us you can do anything you want, anything you put your mind to. No, you cannot. But you can do all things through Christ, and that's a big difference. That's Christ in you. No, you can't turn the other cheek. No, you can't love people. No, you can't be courteous and kind and considerate to all people all the time. But you can when you die to self, deny self, take up your cross daily and follow after me. That'll preach. Deny self, You can't love others, honor others, be courteous and gentle until you die to your pride, die to your ego, die to your need to be recognized, die to your need for people to praise you and to glorify you and to worship you. Die to self. Take up your cross. Follow me and love your neighbor as yourself. And to honor and place, to honor is to place proper value and importance on something, to esteem something to the highest degree, and to show dignity and respect. And honor recognizes others as valuable creations of God, deserving of dignity and respect and courtesy. And correct behavior comes from correct attitude, which comes from correct thinking and understanding. And this is important. In order to have the appropriate value and altitude, and therefore a culture of honor, we must understand and can be convinced of the correct doctrine of Imago Dei. Now, Imago Dei is Latin for the image of God from Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make mankind in our," plural, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "Let us make mankind in our image," that's men and women, "in our likeness," twice, "in our image, in our likeness." Hebrews 2, verses 6 to 8, incredible verses. When you think about this, every single person that you meet, no matter what they look like on the outside, no matter how broken, no matter how fallen, no matter how poor, no matter what wealth or status or position, this truth applies to them, that they were created in God's Father, Son, Holy Spirit image. They were created in his likeness. They may look nothing like it, but that doesn't, maybe the woman caught in adultery looked nothing like that in that moment, but Jesus saw the value. He saw the truth. He saw a woman created in the image of God. Zacchaeus looked like nothing like it up the tree, because he wasn't living the right life. He wasn't living a righteous life. But Jesus saw beyond, like the father in the prodigal son story. The son dishonored his father, wasted his money on prostitutes and wild living. He had fallen far short of the glory and honor in which he was created, yet the father saw beneath the rubble to the gold, to the truth. Here he sees a son created in the image and likeness of God, and he's going to, through love and grace, call him back to his true identity. It has been testified somewhere, Hebrews 2, 6 to 8. "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor." Every human you meet has been created in the image and likeness of God. Doesn't mean they look like God right now, but it doesn't detract from the truth of the doctrine of Imago Dei. This is why we value all people of all races, of all religions, of all backgrounds, of all ethnicities, of all disabilities, of all intellects, no matter what disabilities, no matter what difficulties. We honor, respect, value, show dignity and respect to unborn children and wombs, because of all, we believe there's no accidents to God. All are created in the image and likeness of God. All are crowned with glory and honor. Wow. Every human being has been crowned with glory and honor. If we could get this truth, if the Holy Spirit could sink it deep into us, if it could infiltrate our minds and our hearts and affect our attitudes and affect our actions, that the next time we come across someone, we hold that high value, because they do not feel it. They do not see their value. They do not know their value. They do not recognize their value. And the authors of Hebrews here is quoting Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 to 9, which are powerful verses, but contrast this with atheism. Because atheism says that there's nothing special about human beings. We wonder why there's no honor, there's no courtesy, there's no respect between human beings, because the implication is stark and it's absolutely shocking that human beings are not special according to atheism, because we are nothing other, according to atheists, accidental byproducts of nature created by evolution. Dawkins said that mankind is a freak of nature. So why would we honor another freak of nature and show courtesy? You're just a freak of nature, mate. You're a complete freak, and I'll treat you like a freak because I believe that you're a freak of nature. He said that that humans have no design, no purpose. They're just machines for propagating DNA. How's that for value? Eh? The implications of this worldview are staggering, because on the atheistic worldview, there's nothing special about human beings. There's nothing special. Why should we honor and be courteous to one another? Contrast that with what Jesus taught, the Imago Dei, image of God. Humans are incredibly special. This is the truth. They have dignity, they have purpose, they have special meaning, because they've been created in the image of Yahweh in order to represent him and be his representatives and his mirrors and to reveal his glory and love unto the earth. That there is purpose, there is meaning, there is design, there is purpose, there is value, and high, high value placed upon every human being. And that's why even if a baby's diagnosed with Down syndrome, they are some of the most beautiful children in the world. They're some of the most beautiful people in the world. We can learn so much, and yet the world would say, don't have them. Terminate it. Why we honor the life in the womb. We honor life in the womb. We give thanks to God for every child. It's not flesh, cells, bones. It's the Imago Dei. It's a child created in the image and likeness of God, irrespective of their days, irrespective of the trimester, irrespective of the length of days, irrespective of what it looks like, even as a ball of cells that contains that seed. Like a seed is planted into the ground, that seed contains a forest. It's not just a seed. A seed is a forest when we see it like that. And a ball of cells in a womb is the precious life of God. And we should honor and have dignity for all life. You know, this truth, it must saturate our minds and understanding to change our thinking, our attitude, and our behavior. Because every human being that you come across, no matter how fallen they seem, they're created in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, they have dignity, purpose, and special meaning. That woman that Jesus met at the well, the woman that was caught in adultery, Zacchaeus up the tree, prodigal son stinking of pigs and pig food, fallen from glory, yet they were fallen, but Jesus, the Father, saw their dignity, their identity, their original purpose, and he was going to call them back into the glory which they were created and fell from, and he was calling them back to the glory and purpose that he had intended for them. He saw the gold beneath the rubble. You know, this is so important, because it's not a person's salary, a person's title, a person's clothes, a person's looks, their education, their appearance that gives them value and worth and dignity. And we must be careful not to judge on outward appearances. James warns us in his book and in his letter not to judge and show favoritism to the person who walks into your worship gathering and is dressed well with expensive clothes and show they more value than the man that enters with shabby clothes. because they're both of equal value to God. God does not look to outward appearance but to the heart, and they're both image bearers of the King. So we mustn't judge people by their outward. We should not disregard or ignore people based on what they can do for us, give to us, help us. We should love and honor all people regardless of their age, their mental health, their status, etc. In fact, the least a person can do for you, the less value someone is to you on the outside world, culturally would say, ignore them. You want to find people of esteem and wealth, and maybe they've got properties abroad, and maybe I could get a wee holiday abroad from them. That's the kind of people I want to be friends to. Jesus said to invite those to your table who can never repay you. Because even the sinners invite all the nice ones, the wealthy ones, the ones that are affluent, have got good names. Not to say we don't love those people, but Jesus said, invite those that can never repay you. I love this video clip, and with this video clip, I'm going to draw it to a close after this. We've got a little Instagram reel of someone showing honor to someone who did not expect it. Just watch this. We're going to bring this to a close.
Oh, not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm sorry to bother you. I've had a really, really rough day. I just wanted to see if you'd be willing to go to Disneyland with me today.
Hey, that's great. You really want to take me? My gosh, I can't believe this.
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week. I know that it's all bad for me.
How does it feel to be at Disneyland today?
Oh my God, this is one of the best days of my life. I feel like I might be dreaming or something. I thought my life was over. I'll remember this day for a long time. You don't know how much I appreciate this. You really? You don't know.
You don't need to take someone to Disneyland to honor them, but isn't that beautiful? Why would you invite me? You want me? I bet the guy that took him had the best fun day ever. Probably better than if he had went on his own. You know, just put that, just flick through these last few slides here. Yeah, this is from the book of James, saying about not judging others that walk into your church. Your calling is to fulfill the royal law's love as given to you in the scripture. You must love and value your neighbor as you love and value yourself. It's all about value. You know, Jesus taught that you're of more value than many sparrows. Do not more worry about tomorrow, because Jesus, God, feeds the little sparrows. He's, you are of greater value. Here's the issue. If you don't recognize your value, know your value, know your true value, know you were created in His image, know you are of incredibly high value, you will never be able to value others. So first and foremost, we must recognize our own value before God, have a good and healthy identity in order for us then to recognize the value that God has placed upon others. There's some practical points I've not got time to go through. To honor one another, we must value one another and recognize the value in each other. We must show humility. And Stephen did a great job of talking about love is humble. Love is not proud. And so these are all interlinked. It's beautiful how Paul has connected all of these qualities, because they're all required for each other in order to incorporate love. But you know, we're told to love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another. Imagine a culture that's trying to outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another. That's the kind of competition that you want to have. Thirdly, show respect, and honor and respect go hand in hand, don't they? And we're told not just to honor those in authority, but we're told to honor everyone. 1 Peter 2:17. Honor everyone. And lastly, practice grace and kindness. Because, yes, they have weaknesses and they have faults, as you and I do. But we're called to honor each other despite the weaknesses and faults. And that's why we need grace, and that's why we need kindness. And the Bible teaches showing honor to those in authority, ultimately to God, to parents. There's some verses there. To your spouse, to the governing authorities, to spiritual leaders, and to everyone. And you can look up those verses in your own time. But Clara, would you just put that song on, please? Don't show the video on the screen, but just have the music playing in the background. Would we stand to our feet and let's just pray this through. Pray this through. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Holy Spirit, let's just take a few minutes now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. God, I pray, we thank you. This is how much you valued us. You created us in our mother's womb. It says you knit us together. You made us fearfully and wonderfully. You thought about us. You gave us our personality, our qualities, our strengths, our passions, our interests. This is how much you value us, that you sent your only son to die upon the cross. That's how much you value your children. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you just now, just to come and touch us and to give us a revelation. Open the eyes of our heart, Father, that we would see first and foremost how much valued we are to you. We pray that you would bring healing to our hearts, because others have spoken words that maybe said you're of no value, you're worthless. So God, we pray for your healing to come in this place right now, that you would start to heal minds and hearts and identities in this place right now. Holy Spirit, come. Just open your hands to him and just say, come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, I am loved. Thank you, I am known. Thank you, I am accepted. Thank you, I am forgiven. Thank you, I'm your treasured child. Thank you, I am precious to you. And the worse I am, the worse my behavior, the worse my mental health gets, the worse my struggles get, your love does not change. We see you looking to Zacchaeus. We see you looking to the woman caught in adultery. We see you to the woman at the well. And we just see your love is unchanging, for you are a compassionate, kind, and loving God. So minister your love right now, we pray. Minister your love in this place. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Heal us, we pray. Jesus, you are the great physician. We come to you today and say, heal us, Lord. Heal us from the rejection. Heal us from a spirit of rejection for those that were rejected by humans, by fathers or mothers or partners or friends. Heal rejection in this place right now. We just speak healing right now. Just speak healing right now. Say, be healed in Jesus' name. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to shine a light on you right now. Would you give him permission to shine his light? Is there someone that you have dishonored in your life? Maybe it's past, maybe it's currently, maybe it's ongoing. Would you allow the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, I give you permission. Is there someone I am dishonoring? I have dishonored. Would you show me, Lord? And would you ask God for forgiveness right now? Would you come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness? Would you repent? Say sorry. Ask for His help. You've probably done it because you were hurt, because you were betrayed, because you were rejected. Would you ask for forgiveness right now? Take a moment. You know, Jesus was betrayed by Judas, but He continued to honor him and did not dishonor him. Jesus was brought before Pilate before His crucifixion, and He continued to honor him. We can continue to honor those even though they have rejected us, hurt us, are imperfect. We have imperfect behavior. Would you just forgive them right now? Husbands and wives, have you been honoring other as you should? Husbands, love does not dishonor others. If you've been dishonoring your wife, Paul said you are nothing, have nothing, gain nothing. A noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, all else is worthless if you've not been honoring your wife. And I take those words for myself. Would you ask God to forgive you? Because it says love does not dishonor. Love honors highly. Your partner is imperfect. They have flaws. They have things that irritate you and bother you. But you're called to honor them higher than anybody else in your life. Would you take a moment now to ask God for forgiveness? And ask God's grace. Watch the culture of your home transformed as you begin to honor. When you're slapped on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. Husbands and wives, would you take a moment today to pray together, to give thanks, to appreciate you, each other today? Would you honor one another by showing your appreciation? That you found someone that was willing to put up with a punk like you. You should be the most grateful person on the planet. You found someone that was willing to take you. You found someone that was willing to accept you. Are you courteous to one another on a daily basis? And lastly, employees, employers, do you honor those in your workplace? There's an issue with the younger generation to have with people in position of authority today, whether that's managers or even spiritual in the church. There's a mistrust. But even in Jesus' days, there was leaders who were imperfect. It doesn't mean we're not called to honor those in authority. Your boss is not perfect, but we're called to honor them. Be courteous to them. Father God, we pray. We thank you that you honored us. We thank you love does not dishonor. Thank you that you did not dishonor us, Lord. And we pray by the power of your Spirit, Lord, we would overflow with honor and love to everyone, to those in authority, to our political leaders, to our church leaders, to our employers in the workplace, to our work colleagues, to our husbands, to our wives, children to parents, and parents to children, to everyone, Lord, that we would honor, value highly every single person created in your image that you bring to us on a daily basis, Lord. Help us to overflow in honor and love and respect to you. In Jesus'
mighty name. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Just want to, yeah, take your seats. We're just, we're going to bring this service to a close. Do continue to pray that through. Pray it through individually. Pray it through as a couple. Pray it through as a family. And enjoy honoring one another and see the fruits and the blessing in your lives. We've got a good opportunity to practice that now. Thank you for joining us here live. Thank you for joining us online.